I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We got some fun. A whole lot of strapping.
Jalen Johnson, the note.
Jalen Johnson.
Jalen is a premier player.
Starting cornerback for your Chicago Bears.
Jalen's just a real talk expert. He just tells you how he feels.
I have those type of goals and aspirations, and I know to get a yellow jacket, you got to be consistently great. And I think for me, that's my goal, is to consistently be great.
2023 Pro Bowl selection.
Picked off by Jalen Johnson. Johnson, untouched for the touchdown.
2023 All-Pro.
Well, and it's a little bit of the Deion Sanders effect when you're playing opposite of Jalen Johnson.
Takes you inside the locker room after every Bears game.
Give it to Rivers. Sanborn missed him. And then Johnson has to bear hug him appropriately right near the line of scrimmage to prevent a gain.
Jay, he's just, everything he does, he's so professional about it, right? I mean, just a great all-around guy, man. And he's definitely got that dog in him, that chip on his shoulder from last year and getting that respect. And but you need that, right? I want my corners to think they're the best in the league. I know that. So to have a guy like that, don't forget, too, Jalen can tackle with the best of them.
Screen, Williams, nice catch. He's got some ground to make up. Johnson grabbed him, and Brisker drilled him. It's fourth down.
See some helmets crunching in there. Do you see that hamstring wrap-up by Jalen Johnson? Textbook tackle.
Well, that boy, an animal. He's a whole goat, man.
Jalen Johnson.
Yeah,
with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our segment with Jalen Johnson is sponsored by Busey Bank. Building businesses growing well since 1868. It's also brought to you by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And Jalen is so popular that even the folks over at Phillips Chevrolet are like, we got to get in on this. The number one selling Chevy dealer in Illinois for 18 years in a row. Jalen Johnson is here on Spiegel and Holmes. Hey, Jalen.
What's up? How you doing?
We are good, man. That tackle that you made, you heard Mark Sanchez on the broadcast calling it a textbook tackle by Jalen Johnson on the 3rd and 7 play when you wrap up Kyren Williams. Jaquan Brisker comes in there and gets a big hit. It's flashy. Did you have him on your own? Did you need Brisker's help, or did you have that tackle on lockdown, sir?
Nah, I wouldn't say I needed his help. It definitely made it look good. But I mean, just, I know, I feel like I got the brunt of it, really, because I feel like I hit him first, and then of course he came very shortly after that and finished him off. But I know I definitely felt it a little bit.
And then you had a near strip of the football on Kyren Williams on the run play. Like, my God, that almost came out. Did you feel it getting loose? Did you think you were getting it?
I mean, honestly, in the moment, I didn't. I just felt like, honestly, I was just tired of, like, trying to be blocked and shit. I just felt like it kept gassing us. So I was trying to just get my hand on him best I could, and I ended up grabbing his hand. And it's funny because, like, after the play, I didn't know what I was doing in the moment, kind of just trying to get him down. And then after the play, he had said something. He was like, you almost got it. Like, you had a good grip. And I'm just like, I didn't even know what you was talking about. I kind of just moved on. But after seeing it again, I was like, no, I almost got that ball out. The ball definitely was close to coming out. I almost got his hand off of it and raked the front tip out. So that would have been a game-changing play in itself, too.
Jalen, we've been having a big discussion about you guys, especially with a lot of the things that came out last week, where guys were talking about Shane Waldron and saying, hey, look, we went to him, we talked to him, we told him what we needed. One, I'd love to get your perspective on all of that. Two, here's my question for you. When did you know how you needed to be coached? And how did you express that to your coaches?
So the first question, I guess my perspective on the whole thing, I mean, it really came about from captain's meeting. We kind of have a captain's meeting after on every Monday after the game. And I think kind of just getting to a certain point with the captain group. I mean, of course, I'm not on offense, so we weren't doing too much talking as far as the defensive captains, but kind of just hearing certain things that were going on. And it really wasn't like a team issue or like a coach Flus issue. It was more so, okay, there needs to be a conversation with Shane as far as the comfort, as far as what guys want to be able to get into a certain mind frame, to be able to feel a certain way going into a game and during the game, and how you can best maximize your players, not just physically, but also mentally. Because, I mean, you can only go so far with just your physical talent, but if you can get all 11 guys on the same page, all 11 guys knowing what the plan of attack is, what we're doing, how we're going to do it, and everybody knows and can go out there and just focus on executing, they were pretty much just wanting to have that conversation. So, I mean, again, I wasn't there for the conversation, not being an offensive guy. So whatever that conversation was, it seemed like it definitely changed some things, and they were able to work through and continue to push through to gain a certain level, I feel like, of comfort. And now kind of just for them continue to build off of that. And I can only imagine where things are going to go now that they have that relationship, where they can come and really come together from player and coach and figure out ways to put points up. Because ultimately, that's what their job is, to put points up, and our job is to stop guys from scoring. So even on our side, even though we're doing a good job and things like that, we're definitely having those conversations on our side as well, where it's like, hey, coach, we like this, we don't like this, how can we do this or this, how we see it. So, I mean, just for us on defense, it's not like, okay, we just have everything together as well. Now we're trying to figure out and have those conversations on defense as well, figuring out what we can do better or how we can do things a different way to be able to go out there and ultimately win and dominate.
What
were you going to say?
For you, like, was there a point in your career you're like, you know what, I need a kick in the butt, and I need to be able to tell my coaches that they can do what they need to do? Or maybe you're a hug guy, I don't know. But when did you go, I know what I need, and I can tell my coaches what I need and feel comfortable about that?
I mean, honestly, I just feel like, as far as like coaching style, I can get coached by really any style of coaching. I think my dad definitely plays a big role in that. As a kid, he definitely coached hard. He wasn't somebody that just gave me all the praise and things like that. Just especially like as a parent, we'd go and score touchdowns and do all these different things. My dad would sit there with a straight face, and then we'd get in the car and he says, well, at least you did what you were supposed to do. So, I mean, just for me, like, always having that hard coaching, that I mean, he's a correction officer. So, I mean, I don't even want to say the jail type of thing, but he definitely has a certain way of going about things. So, I mean, as far as my mentality and mental go, I mean, I'm definitely mentally strong. It's a coach that coached me hard, like my college coach. I mean, we would go at it. He would go, I mean, I don't want to say cuss me out, but he was able to cuss me out and have those conversations. I was able to respond to it quickly. I mean, my coaches previously in other regimes were a certain way. The coaches I have now are a certain way. So I'm pretty good. I mean, as far as what I need, I'm pretty vocal. If anybody knows on the defense who's going to ask a question, who's going to say something, it's definitely me. So I don't shy away from telling the coaches, hey, we need even today we had a certain call that we weren't getting right necessarily on the field. And I told them, like, coach, I don't feel like we detailed that enough. So, I mean, whatever we need to do to detail something better or make sure that we're on top of it throughout the week and not just waiting. Okay, yeah, well, assuming that we know, like, no, make sure that we're detailing certain things. I mean, I have those conversations. If I don't feel comfortable with something or if I don't like the way something went, I would definitely tell them. I think it really came after my rookie year, of course, my second year having a little more of a voice, and then really my third year going into it after the new regime came in, kind of being one of those older guys in the room, definitely still having that ability to go and speak my mind. So I definitely don't hold my tongue really hardly ever now at this point in my career.
Jalen Johnson is with us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. I want to get back to his dad because that's, I mean, that's amazing. But let's stay here on this idea of the players helping the coaches communicate. Jalen, I remember it was maybe the third or fourth time that we ever had you on this show, and you used a phrase. I still remember you said, well, I was like, how do you guys talk to each other about what you need? And you said, well, it's all about communicating with intention. And I was like, what did he just say? Like, there is a, whether it's therapized or just some call it new agey, or it's just like a more direct way of really trying to communicate that young people in general are better at than when I was your age, you know? And it's like, so I'm sure it's not the first time where sometimes coaches need the way that you guys communicate. You guys as players have learned to communicate in a way that coaches, you need to drag them along sometime. And that's a wonderful and healthy thing if the coaches can have humility about it, isn't it? Because you guys are good at it.
No, 100%. And I mean, honestly speaking, I feel like it was, I wouldn't even say that we are good at it. I think it just kind of took us getting to a certain point to and having the right guys speak up and kind of ignite the flame. And then everybody else can kind of start letting it all out. I'm like, man, forget it. We just going to tell them how we feel. But I know definitely it's a lot of hesitation when it comes to telling the coaches what you think and how it is. I mean, locker room talk is one thing, but you can actually go to the coach and have a conversation with the coach. That's a different comfort zone, I would say, as far as being able to go and have those conversations. And it definitely, I would say, takes the right person to spark it. I know, especially on the defensive side, I'm one to spark it. I'm one to, hey, coach, what makes you call this call? Why are we running this player? Why aren't we running this player? I'm going to ask those type of questions just because – for myself as a player, I'm big on understanding. So I need to understand for myself, but also the guys in the room need to understand, because we can hear a play, oh, yeah, we're going to run this play. And we all look at each other like, man, that ain't the play we need to be running. But if he has a rhyme or reason behind it, when we get the call in the game, we can anticipate, okay, well, coach is calling this because he's thinking run. So, hey, maybe we need to be thinking run. The top runs are bounced or tossed or whatever the case may be. So now we're able to kind of think what he's thinking. But if we're just, okay, we're going to run this call, why are we doing it? If we don't ever ask, then it's like, we don't know why, so we can't really anticipate or think and be on the same page, which now we're not playing full speed like we can or anticipating certain things. So it definitely goes a long way with having that open communication of asking questions, why, making your suggestions, because too, it's not 70 and sunny when they're watching the film, when they're, okay, yeah, well, let's play like this, and maybe the guys will see it like this. It's a lot different when you got bullets flying and people are hitting you in the face, and then you run up and down the field covering people, and then you got to come back and see it how he saw it up in the film room. It's not always ideal like that. It's not just as simple as, okay, well, the coaches see it like this. You guys aren't on the field playing, quite frankly. So it's kind of definitely that balance between having that structure that the coaches give, but also you got to be able to open the dialogue up to your players to be able to figure out, okay, how do you guys see it? How do you guys feel about X, Y, and Z? How do you fit this run, or how do you see this pass concept, or who will pick this up, or who will pick that up? So you definitely need the players' feedback in it, and I feel like the coaches who don't allow you to give that feedback will never have a successful team, because the coaches aren't the one executing the game.
All right, so now back to your dad, who's a corrections officer, but also a also a defensive back, and your brother and your brother was a defensive back. So do the three of you still sit around and talk defensive back technique in the family business?
Nah, not all three of us. Really just me and my brother. Will, of course, we'll always talk. But my dad, he kind of took the back seat now, but he asked us more so how we would play certain things, because he's a defensive coordinator now back in out of high school, a private high school in Fresno. So he'll ask us, okay, Jalen, how do you run quarters? How do you do certain things? So it kind of tables have turned a little bit. I kind of trying to teach him some of the things that I've learned, some ways that I see certain things, especially with route concepts, and with this route concept, this guy can do this, or these guys can do that. It just really depends on what it is. But I mean, for the most part, he's kind of just picking our brains on how we see certain things, or how he feels like he can play certain things at this point.
I think that's a smart football coach that has access to an all pro and is like, hey, let me ask my all pro son.
I should stop teaching him at this point. Right.
He might be able to tell me some things. Jalen, when I look at you guys, I say, you know, 24 points should be enough to win any game for this Bears team, because you guys' defense is really good. And then I heard you in the locker room, and I was like, oh, Jalen is not satisfied with the performance of yesterday. What were the things from the performance that you said we can be better than this?
We didn't get off the field quick enough. I don't know if how many three and outs we had, but it definitely wasn't good enough. I know there was too many long drives. We definitely had too many where we did get the ball on a 30 and they get the ball all the way down to like the 20, our 20, our 10. And now we're having to play so many red zone possessions. And it's like, nah, that's not what we're used to. I feel like we can count probably on one hand how many red zone or goal line snaps we had in the first three games. And then we gave up too many plays and didn't get off on third down. So, I mean, we definitely did a solid job as far as stopping them from scoring points, but I feel like they had too many yards. And I don't think we did good enough. Definitely with McVay and how he runs the team, it's not like it was going to be an easy task, but definitely was a game that we feel like we could have definitely done a lot better and got off the field in a lot of those third downs. I don't think we did good enough on third downs, giving ourselves a chance to get off and getting some three and outs.
What is it about that offense that gets guys so seemingly wide open on crossing patterns? Because he does it all the time against everybody.
It's really, I feel like just the creativity. I feel like it's almost art. I feel like it's the creativity of mirroring things together. Mirroring looks together kind of, and it really all starts with the run game. If you don't have, you can't do anything without the run game. So as far as the play action goes, if you're getting the linebackers to step up, it's a lot easier to get the ball behind them versus if there's no fear of the run, then people are playing with a little more depth or playing in those windows. But when you have that run establishing and getting outside or hitting you up the middle, then it's like, those backers start flowing downhill more, trying to stop that run. And then, okay, with the play action, bring the ball back. And then we hit them right where the backers left at. So I think kind of there's little things like that. And then also, too, I would say with them doing so many motions and jet motions and slow motions and return motions, it's like you have to account for all of that. And then you kind of mirror those together. And you do three motions that look the exact same, and they're all be runs. And then on the fourth one, he'll insert block that he's been doing, and then he releases. And then the tight end, it's like, It's a lot, but it's definitely really, I think, all starts with the run. If you can knock the run out, then a lot of those things you wouldn't be so aggressive on. I mean, corners wouldn't be wanting to come down and crack the plays, and linebackers wouldn't want to scream so far downhill. So it really starts with the run and then the creativity to make run plays or make pass plays look like the run plays.
And then what's a good quarterback like Stafford? What's the quarterback's role in making all that work in the same way?
Calling out coverages, seeing what teams are in, seeing where the blitzes are coming from. Because, I mean, with some of the inexperienced guys, you can definitely tell who's smart, who's who. Because I know there was definitely some time where some blitzes and the things that we normally get that hit or they're not really expecting, he was definitely seeing them, calling them out. And we got to the sideline one time, like, man, who's the rat? Like, who's telling on us? Because he's identifying and calling out a lot of our blitzes. So I think just him running that show, just as far as being able to get guys in the right position, slide the protection a certain way, really even check the plays at the line of scrimmage based on what he's seeing from the defense's perspective. So, I mean, really just overall, just run the show. So, I mean, him with a guy like McVay, I mean, is a dangerous combination.
Jalen, what makes a good blitzer?
I can't really tell you. I haven't blitzed hardly ever in the league, so I don't. What makes a good blitzer?
Well, the reason I bring it up is that I feel like your specific position group is filled with guys that are good blitzers. I think Kyler's a really good blitzer. Jaquan is a really good blitzer.
Jalen hasn't blitzed yet.
I know.
He just said it. I was wondering. We haven't seen him do it. That's crazy.
I know. So your teammates get guys on the ground when they are given the opportunity to do so. Mm-hmm. Why?
I feel like one, disguise is one, depending on your position. But I would say disguise because if they know that you're coming, you're probably not going to get there. So I would say disguise in being able to not give it away because you have to. And then I would say being a good tackler, you have to be able to get them down because there's a lot of guys that get in there and they blitz and then the quarterback jukes them. It's like, man, that was a damn waste of a blitz. So I think just being able to disguise it and then go with speed and get under control and then be able to bring them down. So I think Kyler does a good job at it. clearly seen Jaquan do it. So, I mean, with Stafford's back to him, it's definitely a lot easier. But even in that situation, I've seen plenty of corners and DBs blitz and quarterback spins out and they near fall on their face. So I think just really being able to be under control when you're getting there and then just finding a way to get them down.
Why aren't they letting you do it?
Yeah. What's up with that?
You got to know your personnel. Everybody has their strengths. And I feel like for me, they probably feel like, hey, you do better covering. Let's just keep you out in space, taking care of the air, and then let everybody else do a lot more of the dirty work.
I like it because this way, you know, Jalen's job is to, you know, take away the best receiver on the other team and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not be thrown at because they know what's going to happen if they do. I like it. But see, what Jalen has set up.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know why. I almost asked him, hey, coach, is it a personal thing or what? What we got going on? Everybody got a blitz but me. So I ain't asked him yet, but I was thinking. I'm thinking about it.
But the beautiful thing is that now it's all set up. See, now I'm expecting Jalen to blitz
right.
And get his guy Red Rifle on the ground on Sunday.
I need it. Let me just get this one because I played with him. I need one QB hit.
Would you hit him hard or would you let him down soft on Sunday?
It depends on if he sees me coming, doesn't see me coming. Because, I mean, the worst thing I want to do is either miss or get a damn flag for necessary roughness or something like that. It's like, nah, I can't run the risk of that. So, I mean, it really just depends on the situation. I'd rather get the sack than try to hit him hard and do all that hoorah. I just want the sack.
Jalen, on the near interception, on the first one by Brisker where he's out of bounds first,
yeah.
Is that a frustrating rule to you guys? Like, I get it for the offensive player. You know, like that the offensive player has to stay in for the defensive player. I feel like that shouldn't be a thing. What do you think?
Only because it's Jaquan, I definitely feel like I don't like the call just because I wouldn't want to have that. But if I was watching from another team, I definitely would feel like it's not. I don't think the rule is the issue because I know with the offense, you can't go out of bounds and be the first to touch.
Yep.
So I know that's why the ref throws the hat down. So in that case of him pushing the receiver out of bounds, they even teach us that on scramble drill. Like once the quarterback gets out of the pocket or whatever, or when scramble drill, try to get your guy out of bounds because they can't be the first to touch. So it's like he eliminated him once he pushed him out. But I definitely feel like there has to be some sense of establishment because if not, they both can be out of bounds. He just jumps back in and without even touching the ground, maybe. So I feel like, I don't know if we can change it or try to get a change to 1 foot, but I mean, you definitely, to me, have to be able to get back in bounds and make some type of establishment of being back in bounds. Now, if Jaquan couldn't touch the ball at all either, then that's, to me, that's BS. But I feel like as far as just a reestablishment, I don't think it's that bad.
So we've talked to you many times through the years and through the weeks when the offense has struggled. Offense was better. Yeah. Offense was better. That the run game was there. They put the mini fridge out there in the I formation. And Caleb, you know, checking it down. A beautiful throw to DJ Moore on the touchdown. How were the defensive vibes about what the offense did yesterday?
I mean, definitely better. I mean, we can't complain with touchdowns and field goals being put up. So, I mean, I think just for us overall, just happy to see the progression. And it's been getting better slowly but surely and be able to see him click. Big play, Dre had a heck of a day as well. So happy to see him getting back to himself. I know all of what he can do as far as his just impact that he can make on a football game. So, I mean, I was happy to see that. Roshan ran the ball well. Lime blocked, or the team blocked as a whole. Block well. And then, of course, I feel like there's definitely some more explosives out there that I know that they want. I know Caleb wants some throws back. There's a few guys that want some plays back, but I think they definitely did a heck of a job and gave us some points. So, I mean, for us, it's really just about going out there and closing the game out.
Jalen, as always, this was enjoyable. Thank you so much. Stay healthy, and we'll talk to you next week.
No doubt. Y'all have a good one.
All right, Jalen.
It's Jalen Johnson.
Whew.
That you want to learn football,
dude?
That last segment, jeez,
my goodness! Right, the stuff about McVay and Stafford, I feel like there's a lot of stuff in there that we can take to future weeks for us.
My partner really likes to live in the special when it comes to the quarterback. he is not alone. Spiegs is going to walk you through some of the special that happened with Caleb Williams next on The Score.
The special.
You're the special.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Williams protected. Williams to the ball. Touchdown pass at home for Caleb Williams in front of these fans as he finds his top target.
Well, watch Caleb. His eyes are going to work to the left. He wants to throw to Everett. And then you get DJ Moore on Roseboom right there, number 56. That's the matchup you want, and that's why you use these exotic formations to formate it and get your best receiver, highest paid receiver, on a linebacker.
Let's talk about the quarterback for a second. Let's talk about Caleb Williams. And I know that, like, throughout the show today, we've had a bunch of different perspectives on Caleb and his effectiveness, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone doesn't have to be in agreement, in lockstep. But I always enjoy when Spiegs gets hyped about stuff.
Got hyped as I watched him on that drive that ultimately ends up with only three, and that's before halftime. But on the way to get there, he started showing some willingness. You were talking about this earlier, Lawrence. Some of the willingness to check it down and to take what yards are there and move the team positively. And you can hear just how happy Mark Sanchez was as he was watching this stuff. Sanchez enjoying watching Caleb under 2 minutes. I guess it's in the last 90 seconds of the second quarter.
For a downfield shot, and that's what you just talked about. He takes the profit and gets a first down on second down and short and moves it to the 40 of LA.
I mean, you got to feel like a proud father. Your kid's just growing up right before your eyes. But watch Caleb. He's going to scan the whole field, wants to take a shot down the field. He sees it. No way. The internal clock goes off and dumps it to the flat. Another positive first down play. It only benefits you.
So moving the ball. If the check down is there, take it. And Sanchez was so damn happy to see it. With about 43 seconds left, he continues the drive, and it's swift again. They initially think it's the first down, but they end up reviewing it. But remind yourself what Caleb did on this play to even get the ball to DeAndre Swift. And this is the kind of stuff that Ryan Poles told him to unleash every once in a while when the moment calls for it.
Williams gets hit by Verse, stays up, on the move.
Got him.
And he connects with Swift, who dives ahead near the sticks. They'll mark him out of bounds to stop the clock with 32 seconds left, and it's good enough for a first down, seemingly.
Well, watch Burse working on the left side with Braxton Jones, gets that push. Caleb somehow slips out of the tackle. He had Swift early and ends up finding him late. There was Swift on the sidelines working those tick marks, that ladder on the sideline.
The special.
You're the special.
Not every moment that the special comes out to play has to be like a crazy shot downfield, like we saw Josh Allen do last night with that.
Oh my God.
I know.
Right? Like, wow.
Yeah. And Caleb can do that, and he's tempted to do that every time he has a chance to do that kind of thing.
That's why, to go back to your first point, that's why I thought the check down stuff was so important. It is because we know that Caleb can do some of that, and in a lot of instances it's felt like, I gotta do that. I need to make that play.
Right.
And I think that there is, this is my opinion, and again, I'm not a Super Bowl MVP or anything like that. I'm someone who covered the league for forever, but I feel like we are seeing him throttled down into being comfortable.
Yeah, oh, dude, I totally agree. Because here's that moment on that play. He avoids Jared Verse and creates an opportunity. And instead of like looking for something deep and hucking it way downfield, he's like, all right, well, I got this. You know, and when you watch Mahomes or you watch these people who create, they still, once they get away from the rush, they still just take whatever's there. You don't have to then turn it into a hero moment. Sometimes it will, and that'll be awesome. But just keep that mindset of taking whatever is there.
I like to think, though, that every moment I have is a hero moment. I was great yesterday. It doesn't matter. I was fine.
I didn't think you were great.
I was fine. You must not have been watching.
It took a long time for you to get going, Pat.
Well, I think I was fine.
Also, didn't you get your own player hurt? Didn't you break Rashee Rice's Achilles?
I did do that.
Or his
ACL?
I did
do that. And we're having internal discussions about it.
Patrick, your team scored 17 points yesterday.
Yeah, but that's an anomaly. As you know, it's an anomaly.
Thank you, Patrick. So good.
What do you guys think about Caleb? Caliendo. Not Frank, but Mike. Not the guy who imitates you.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony, it's a timeout.
Wow. That's Jim Nance and Tony Romo doing an impression of Frank Caliendo's impression of them?
That would be Caliendo.
That's amazing.
That's pretty great.
That is pretty great. But so Caleb shows you the special there. And it's interesting because he's going to have to really, really get good at the stuff from the pocket, because I thought Sanchez was really good on saying what the Rams' defensive game plan was against Caleb and what everybody in the league is going to do.
And keeping Caleb, you see how they're attacking this rush? They're trying to collect Caleb as opposed to trying to attack him and let him get outside of the pocket. They want to silo him in there and make that 6-foot stature matter.
But I don't love the way he's been hit early in these first four games, the first month of the season. You'd like to keep number 18's jersey a little cleaner than it's been. He has taken some shots. And you can tell this rush plan is calculated by the Rams. They want to collect him, keep him in the pocket. Do not let him get outside where he's deadly on the run.
And it's so sensible, because when you see Mahomes do it or anybody else do it, it's like they find a way to like go up and then go left, or go up and then go right, or break out the outside. And everybody's plan against Caleb is going to be, all right, let's just collect him. Just keep him right there in the pocket and slowly encroach upon him.
And Sanchez was talking about how, like, look, don't end up behind him. Don't have the rush so that you end up behind him, because it offers opportunities for him to step up. And he was talking about that with Stafford too. You keep contained. Keep him contained is key.
Mm-hmm.
There's something else from the game that I wanted to run by you, and I wanted to talk about on whether or not this is a smart way forward for Caleb in the Bears offense. You up for a little dissection?
I have nowhere else that I am allowed to be.
Okay.
For 20 minutes.
All right. That sounds like we want volunteers and not hostages. But We will discuss
all right,
it next.
Let me rephrase it. Lawrence, whatever you want to do. It's fine.
That sounds like a better plan.
It's fine.
Let's talk Bears next year on the Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
It's better to have volunteers as opposed to hostages.
It's a partnership.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. I'm okay.
It's a partnership.
Fine. Lawrence, what did you want to talk about? Go ahead.
Breakfast ball. That's what... I caught a little bit of breakfast ball this morning.
Yeah?
Danny continues to do well.
Good. Chemistry?
Well, he definitely wanted to bust some balls, some breakfast balls today. On Carton and the Jets.
Oh, that must be delicious.
Yeah, he definitely wanted to break some balls.
Because Aaron Rodgers, one of the bag of bags, getting exposed.
Do you like the cover that Ben Zobrist's ex-wife did of Carton and the Jets?
Carton and the Jets. Yes.
Very much so.
She really stepped out with that one.
What's on your mind, sir?
Wow.
Wow. That happened.
Just going to give that some
That
some
deserved
air.
A rim shot.
Hey, I'm just preaching
That's
over
okay.
Here.
Did you see the picture of Chuck and Zach LaVine today?
I did not see that. Is Chuck taller than Zach or no?
Well, Zach was sitting. So
so still no.
Still no.
Did you see the picture of Chuck and some random man that was walking the streets with his bobblehead?
Chuck's bobblehead?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yes. What? Go to Chuck's Twitter account. Apparently, there was some random man on the street this morning walking around with Chuck's bobblehead and asked Chuck to take a picture.
So you actually happen to have the bobblehead, and then you run into Chuck Swirsky.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out the logistics of that.
Chuck was shocked. He looked down and he immediately said,
"What?
Bull!"
I just hope he's not being followed. That feels like someone that's got your schedule down.
Chuck, I'm here with your bobblehead.
I knew I'd see you today, so I brought this bobblehead for you to sign.
We have one of those at home. We have a Chuck Swirsky bobblehead and a few others. But for God's sakes, Lawrence, I don't want you to think that I'm not interested, because that's not true. It's not the case.
Well, I just wanted to this was something I wrote down in my notes and watching the game again today. I didn't think much of it at Soldier Field, but I thought a little bit about it when I went back and watched it. On these options, are we okay with Caleb running as much as Caleb's running? If the answer is yes, I'm okay with that. Yeah. Like if that's and shout out to him, because I think he's a very responsible runner.
I think that is true so far. You're talking about the zone reads.
Yes.
Where his job is to decide based on usually the defensive end.
What the defensive end does.
What Jared Verse is doing, so he could hand the ball off or at the mesh point choose to keep it and go around the outside. I'm okay with it. Yeah. I think it's part of modern NFL life. And I do think he is responsible. And those lessons of the slip and slide and those lessons of going down are things he's going to need throughout his NFL life and career anyway.
What I do like about it in watching Caleb, what I mean by him being a responsible runner, is that he'll get the first down and he'll get seven. But he knows if he tries to get nine, he's probably going to get hit. So he gets down. Now, I imagine if it comes to like a goal-to-go situation, then we'll see him, you know, do something that's a little bit more risky because of what it means. But watching him on the zone reads, I go, there's a guy who at least at this point, when he's out in the open field, understands, I got what I needed.
Yeah.
Now I got to get on the ground.
I don't really like the idea of having it run in goal line situations.
Obviously.
For that reason. Yeah, you know, because
you know he'll,
of course, because he's gonna lean in.
Wired.
He's gonna lean in and try to do his thing, and it feels a little too much like the absurd option play that we saw last week on fourth and goal.
It's gonna be a while before Bears fans let that go, and they're well within their rights to not let that go.
I know the idea of those zone reads and the quarterback keeping it every once in a while is to then have the running back have more room when they do just give it to him and just have that be the run play. And I get that. Do you think it's effective these days in the NFL? Do you think the quarterback keeping like a non-running quarterback, a non-Lamar.
A Stafford,
a Caleb, a non-Lamar Jackson, a non-Justin Fields, and even
a non-Josh Allen.
A non-Josh Allen.
He's such a monster.
He is a monster. But we're talking about, what, 4 or 5 different quarterbacks? Maybe Jaden Daniels probably is in that in those ranks. So when
Joe Burrow. Like, who he can run, but he's not a runner.
Right. So, like, does it really keep defenses honest? It's a good question for a Bowen or somebody who's watching the whole league and seeing how it reacts. I wonder if it is truly a benefit to the run game the way that the idea was and the way that it used to be, for sure.
It's interesting with Caleb because Caleb, if you look at, like, some of the USC stuff, and his primary thing when he runs is he's running to open up windows to throw. But in moments where he has just been free range, Caleb, he's actually pretty creative. He's a creative runner. You know, he understands where, even though I'm past the line of scrimmage, if I do like this.
Yeah, if I hold the ball up.
If I can just.
No, really, I'm going to throw it.
I'm 10 yards past the line of scrimmage. That even the hesitation of the defender being like, wait, what? That's enough to get you the extra yard that you might have needed on that play.
That always worked in 2-on-2 with the automatic quarterback.
With Sequoias?
No, I'm talking before that. I'm talking junior high, you know, middle school, you know, 2-on-2, 3-on-3. The pretending you're going to throw it, even if you're downfield, it always worked on some boneheads.
Who
were my friends.
That's a wrap.
When I was a kid, we used to play 2-on-2 against some kids down the street, me and my brother. And I'll never forget this. And he'll probably never forget it either. He was playing quarterback. I was playing wide receiver because he's the older brother, right? He threw a ball towards a parked car. I caught the ball, ran immediately into the car, and my legs just went sliding underneath. It was really bad. It was really bad.
Lawrence is hurt.
It's really terrible. I'll tell you off the air the other part of that story.
Okay, please do.
Which goes with the very special thing that you might be a part of on television these days. You know, the series that you might be a part of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you the second part of that.
Oh, yeah. I do need to watch this Netflix series and see if I'm in it.
I think you're going to be in it. And I think even if you're not in it, we're going to say you're in it.
Yeah, well, I think we got to get there. I got to find out if there's a youth tennis scene in the Menendez TV show.
Big thanks to Jalen Johnson, to Mark Grody, to Cole Kmet. Am I missing anybody?
Man, that's a hell of a show. Jalen Johnson and Cole Kmet were on this show. Kurt Warner.
Are you in the scene where they kill their parents?
That's not the one that I'm in.
No, he's not in that.
Spoiler alert.
I can't dump these things, folks, because I still hear them.
Dump it.
And also, PSA, no Nico tomorrow. He's moving to Thursday. Nico normally Tuesdays, but his season wrap-up will be Thursday.
Okay. That's all right. We got a lot of stuff that we didn't get to today, like, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf writing a letter, the Cubs season ending again with them having 83 wins.
Jed Hoyer speaks at 11. We're going to carry it live here on The Score tomorrow as well.
There's all sorts of stuff. For Speaks and Tanny and Shane, I'm Lawrence. We will see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Thanks for listening to Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.
Okay, that's that.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's all. Thanks, folks.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, bedroom? Just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.